So we are very privileged to have Brother Paul join us again. For quite a while, we could only get Paul on a midweek Bible study night. He'd come on Thursday nights, and we'd have a fairly good attendance, actually. But last year, we made church history, and Paul was able to come and join us on a Sunday morning. And he must have liked it, because he calls me up, not 2 years later, but he calls me up this year and says, I'm available again. So I was glad, and I pushed everything else aside, as I hope you all agree with me, that anytime we can have our brother report to us on what God's doing in India and share with us from the Word, it's a great, great pleasure. So there'll be a report on the work going on, and then there'll be a message, and we're going to be tag-teaming here, showing things on there. Should we dim these lights?
Why don't you hit the button to kill?
Just kill. Okay, we just kill him.
There we go. Oops, wrong kill. There we go. All right. Let's get that ready. So, Paul Daniel, thank you for coming today.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity you have given me to come here one more time on a Sunday and share about my ministry and about the word of the Lord, what He has laid in my heart. And first, I want to show you a few pictures of my ministry in India. So the
Do you want to do? It's doing a slide show. You want to just do it one at a time?
Oh, anyway.
Okay.
No problem.
It's
no problem. No problem. Yeah.
You wanted to do that, or do you want to just tell me how to get it?
Yeah, if you could go to the first one, there is one more there.
Yeah. It's just you. Do you want to take a picture and then go at it? Okay.
Okay. Get a few more lights.
All right. There we go.
Can you excuse me? This is too much for me.
It's cool.
Reportedly, I have the wings of an eagle. I fly back to India soon after the meeting. So the first few pictures will be about the church. The first one is how we conduct gospel meetings. This is a church in which you want an extension to this church. This is actually outside the church. The church building is 40 by 20, but it won't accommodate so many people there. So we are planning and praying for an extension of the church. This is how we go for outreach to the villages. This is just a mini truck. And we take people in the truck and go to villages and conduct open air meetings.
Amen.
And some of the people who are baptized by me last year, and I baptized almost about 60 people since I left from this place last time. So I have few pictures. This is how we gather together to the baptism tank and baptize people, and the people will be praying for the baptism. And one more group who were baptized by me, and this is another place we have baptism tank, and I baptize people in this tank also. The church about which I was sharing with you was under construction, and then we built this. Then we built this church, and people are waiting outside. You will see the next picture. People are waiting outside on the street. You can't do that here, but in India you have all the liberty to do that. Soon after the dedication service, we had this love feast, and people from different places ate there. And I don't know how many of you remember this. I was sharing with you about a roof, and the Lord helped me to replace that roof there. And the next picture, we see, these are the trained believers to conduct Sunday school for the children.
Amen.
And this is a kind of VBS Vacation Bible School, and we conduct it in an open air. These are the children who come and participate there. We connect it in different places. This is another place. We have these children come for 1 week and they learn from the Bible. And just like the shoebox, we cannot do thousands. But with what we get, we distribute clothing. And this time we distributed bed sheets in the previous bed sheets to the children. And the next picture, we gave away small containers in which they can take food to the school. And the next we see the children were dedicated. One Sunday morning, all of them brought the children to surprise. I just dedicated all the children there. In the next picture we see my wife is there. Last year the Lord helped us to buy 100 clothing for the widows, and we
get
my wife is there, who is not, she's not, she's not very beautiful. She's next to me. I am the beautiful man. I score 100% and she is only 90. Yeah, please don't tell her when she comes. And some of the widows, we gave the saris to them. Yeah, every year we buy like 40 Bibles at a time and give to people who are in need. And we make it a point to baptize, when we baptize the people, we give a free Bible to them. And this is one group who received free Bible from us. And next picture we see, these are the Bibles, we buy the Bibles, and that is my wife. Of course, she is better than me, she is beautiful. So because she was all alone, in that picture she was alone. Now when I stand by her side, I think I am nothing. And the next picture I dedicated, believer's house, newly built house, and the Lord helped them to build the house. I dedicated the house, and this is how my small. I did three marriages last year. So you just look at the picture. Whom do you think are the newly married couple? The couple on the left or the couple on the right? Yeah, left. Thank you very much. Yeah. And the next picture, we see another marriage. Another marriage. Next one is another marriage. Yeah. Can you go back to the next, previous one, please? No. The previous one. Please. My wife is getting ready for hunting. So that's all about ministry. I have so many pictures there, but for lack of time, I'm not showing them because Pastor has given me time, 40 minutes time to share about my ministry, 40 minutes time, 45 minutes to share from the Bible, altogether 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Okay, did you want the next set?
The next one.
Okay.
And recently when I was here, about 10 days back, my wife called me and said it's downpouring, it's monsoon season there. And I thought, you know, it's going to be like last year. And what happened is that one day she called me and said, there is water 3 feet in the house. And I actually wept because I lost so many precious books in the flood. And just imagine 3 feet will be like this. And all the bookshelves of where I have books, my son could not do anything. Because we had the office there, and we had the bookkeeping books there, account books there, all registrations, everything. So first he gave preference to this, and just to put them all in an elevated place. And by the time the water was just, because 4 lakes were broken, and the water was just gushing into the place where we are living. And you'll see the water there, first crucial. This was when the rain started. He didn't take the picture. So this is how the water actually, the water actually came up to here. This is not that much water. Could you please go down? And the water is up to here. Yeah, the books all spoiled there. I have some sea tempest there. And my wife was praying for a long time for a bench. And finally, my son helped her little by little, and she got this bed. And she was so happy about it. And now it was, the one was up here, actually. So it was a sort of weird now.
This is when the rain started. People are walking in the street. This is the highway. This is the highway, actually. Our streets are very low. This is highway. But just imagine the water is up to here, up to the ankle, I'm sorry, to the knee. And the next picture, the fire department came to help people, and it's just flooding there. And here, one side is just blocked, the other side is not full of water. And this is another picture of my house, the water.
Okay,
that's all here.
Okay.
So, I just request you to pray for the Lord to help me to get those books.
You're talking to the right guy here. I'm talking about books. That hits my heart. We just shipped 149 boxes of books to a ministry.
Yeah.
We want to help all we can.
Yeah, actually, I was planning to give the books to the young people who come out for ministry. But before that, since I had to leave, I couldn't do anything. So actually, I'm planning to keep some of the study books with me and give away other books to the young people who study in the Bible schools there. Because I teach, once I was asked to teach in a place. I didn't know the place, I didn't know the people, but someone came to me and said, could you please teach in that Bible school? And I said, okay. So when I went there were 130 pastors. So I was asked to teach from the book of Revelation. And what happened is, after that, there was a man, and he said, can you come and teach the book of Acts in our church? I went to his church. It was a beautiful church, city church, and there were about 250 people sitting there every day, for 8 days, every day, 1.5 hours. And I mean, really enjoyed it. And then another pastor came and said, can you do some teaching in our church for 4 days? And now another pastor is asking, can you come and do the book of Revelation in our church for 8 days? So it keeps on growing. So what I plan is to give away some of the books to those who really are in need, and keep some of the commentaries and things like that. I still need it. Though I am 67, I am planning to live till 100. So I still need the books for me. And that is how my library ministry and my teaching ministry, and I have 13 churches, and I have 7 pastors with me. I have a few more churches. I just gave it to the other people because it was growing. They can support the ministry there. But right now my ministry is conducting gospel meetings, open-air meetings in different places. I thank God because my country is not like your country, and especially the month of November. It's hard. Even though it rains, you sweat. So you can conduct open-air meetings. And then I begin to start a small church with a few members, and I build a thatched roof. And when it grows, when we have like 50 people, I try to do something with cement. We started a church, and we had 30 people in a church, and we did the wall work, and then we put the thatched roof. But before we could dedicate that place, someone who hated Christianity set fire to that, and the whole thing was burnt. But we wouldn't give up. We are planning to build it in a man's upstairs. You know, it's open upstairs. We are planning to have a thatched roof on the top of it. When the people grow like 50, 60, I'm planning for brick building. And apart from that, we teach the children, we support the children, and we support widows. We distribute saris every year in the month of December. And every day, the widows come and eat in my church. And apart from that, the widows we have whom we know living in far distances, we send money to them. Just we call it coffee money, and they really like it. And that is how my small ministry in India is going on by the grace of God. Now, I would like to share a few things from the Word of the Lord, which the Lord gave me one morning, early morning when I got up. And I just want to share it with you. I have given the title to this message as The Change of Places. You know, last time I looked at the word shepherd, and I don't know how many of you remember, I preached from that word, shepherd. And now I want to continue the same thing, shepherd. Can you say shepherd?
Shepherd.
It's not new, shepherd. And, you know, just before Jesus Christ became a shepherd, You know what happened to him? Usually, the scholars, Bible scholars, put three psalms together. Psalm 22, Psalm 23, Psalm 24 together. Because the Psalm 22 speaks of the cross. Psalm 22 speaks of the Spirit of God. And Psalm 24 speaks of the cross. In other words, I could say cross, number 22, and then cup, number 23, and then crown, number 24. Again, the first thing Jesus did was that he died on the cross. And then he became a shepherd. In other words, first he became a sheep, and then he became a shepherd. When he became a sheep, he died. When he became a shepherd, something else is happening, which I'm going to share with you. So in these two words, in chapters in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, Psalm 22 speaks full of the cross of Christ, from the beginning to the end. Then 23 speaks of the resurrected Christ. In other words, Psalm 22 speaks of the prophet Christ. Psalm 23 speaks of the priest Christ. So let's go to the notes now. He raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1:21. Now, before Jesus Christ was seated, where was he? The Bible very clearly says, I call the apostles in different names. The Lord Jesus Christ gave a name to John and his brother, both. I don't know how to pronounce it. Boanerges? 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 Sons of Thunder? What is that?
Bartholomew.
What is it, please?
No, Barnabas wasn't a son of thunder. He was an apostle of Paul. James and John are the sons of thunder.
Yeah, sons of thunder. For that he gave a name, Boanerges, something like that, Boanerges. But I give the apostles as different names. And here I call John as the leading apostle. And the leading apostle is writing about somebody else who was also a leading person. So in the book of John, the subject is a leading person is writing something about another leading person. A human leading person is writing about the divine leading person in heaven. So when he begins his book, he says the Lord Jesus Christ was in the bosom of his Father. Nobody else revealed the Father God. But Jesus Christ revealed the Father God because he was in the very bosom of his Father. If you read the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, the last few verses, you will know that a kind of mystery is hidden there. A kind of typology is hidden there. Where it says, he was a joy to his Father. He was in the bosom of his Father. And he was all the time making the Father joy, rejoice, happy, to be happy. But when the Father God said, whom shall I send? Because he could not find anybody in heaven, on earth, and below the earth to go and die for human race. The same thing. Whatever the Lord wants to perform, there are different stages. For example, when the book, the scroll, was seen there on the right hand of the Father, then John was weeping. Who can open it? So in heaven, on earth, and below earth, no one was there. In the same way, when God wanted to save the whole human race, he could not find one person in heaven. Not even the angels were so good to come and die on the cross. So he heard a voice from his bosom. And the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, here I am, I will go. You have prepared a body for me, and I will go for the people. So he left that place. I always call bosom is the comfort zone. That's where our children just lean upon us. When that comes, from when I was, my son, I have two sons. One is married, the other is yet to marry. He is afraid of marriage because he is thinking whether he can get the same food from his wife. He likes his mama, you know, so he still lives with us. And here, when I have little boys, you know, when I came out from the ministry, maybe I will be gone for 2 days, 3 days, or sometimes 1 week, they just lean upon me. I thought they were loving me so much, but they always looked into my pocket. Did Dad buy Cadbury's chocolate there? The M&M chocolate? So, but the Lord Jesus Christ, I call this bosom as comfort zone. He was so happy. Both son and father were so happy. But the time came. It's because of our sin. There was a transfer of place. He had to leave the place and come down. And then he came down. See, he came from the bosom. When he came down, he came to your bosom. The bosom in heaven was the bosom of his father. The bosom on the earth was the bosom or the womb of his mother. So he left the place and he came here. When he started to minister, he was lifted up twice. Number one, he was lifted up on the cross. Number two, he was lifted up to the right side of the Father. Now you have a picture here. From bosom to bosom. From lifting up to lifting up. So he had to do both the ministries because man lost two things in the Garden of Eden. He lost seven things, but I always consider two important things. Because of sin, he lost the likeness of God and the image of God. I don't think both of them are the same. Image is different from likeness. Because when my son is born or somebody is born, and they come and tell, "Hey, look, he looks like his dad. She looks like his her mom." But as I shared with you, I don't know whether I shared this with you or not. When in our churches, when the women are taken to the hospital just before the childbirth, they will ask us to come, pastors to come to their house and pray. So they will ask us to come to the room where she is. And the moment we enter, most of the cases I have seen, young little baby's picture on the wall. Chubby cheeks, beautiful American looking babies. And then I'll ask them, "Why do you have these babies?" They say, "Early morning I get up, Pastor. I don't want to look at the face of my husband." Why? "I don't want my children to look like my husband." "Then why do you put them here?" "Somebody told us that early morning we get up and look at the picture, the child will be born like the pictures." But you know what happens, you know, after the child is born, the grandma comes and says, "Look at his ears. It is like the pancake in McDonald's." And, you know, like the father's big ear, like the mother's big nose, you know. That is how they are born. So that is likeness. That is the image. Image of the father, image of the mother. But the child begins to walk and then walk and walks. So the child begins to walk like, you have different walk when you walk. Look at this boy. He's walking exactly like his father. He is doing exactly like his father. He's speaking exactly like his father. That is likeness. Being born again into the family is different. Behaving like Christ. So the first thing is man lost the image of God. The second thing is he lost the very likeness of God. For that reason, Christ had to change his image and his likeness. What was his image? He didn't have an image. God is spirit. And he doesn't have a human body. So that God, who is spirit, he had to change the body of a sinful man. Not a holy man. A sinful man. Then he acted like a sinner. He was not a sinner.
He became sin for us, but people used to wonder, if he is a holy man, why should he go and participate in the feast of Levi? He's a sinner. All those gathered are sinners. So he's going and participating in the feast, eating with them and talking with them and speaking with them. So they said, Jesus Christ is a sinner. Though it is not the Bible, the tradition says people thought he was a sinner. He was not a sinner.
Amen.
But because in order to save us, he took a human form. In order to save us, he became sin for us, not sinner. Sin for us. So then we see at the change of place from heaven to earth. And John 1:18 says that Jesus Christ was in the bosom of the Father, and he came to make us as he is. Ephesians 1:21 speaks that he is seated on the right side of the Father. John 1:18 says he is in the bosom. Ephesians 1:21 says he is on the right side. So when he ascended to his Father, he was given a glorious welcome. And the angels were very happy. And he was taken up in a cloud. And when he went up, the Father said, not here, here. Not here, here. You just imagine. The first time your child ever heard, no, don't sit on my bosom, on my lap. Go and sit here. Just imagine what kind of feeling the child will have. Jesus is not a child, but still, he loved the presence of his Father, and he always wanted to be in the bosom of his Father, but because of us, he is on the right side of the Father. Do you know why he is on the right side of the Father? Sometimes this happens in my ministry. I will have all the notes there, and all of a sudden it changes. So now I'm changing a little bit in my message. Why is he seated on the right side? It's a simple answer. I thought you would all answer. That is why I did not announce the bumper prize. Yes?
He's his right hand man.
Yeah, he is his right hand man. And then, what else? I thought you would be saying he is interceding for us.
Amen.
But to me, although they are very important facts and truths, I always think it in this way. So what happens when a sinner is saved? What happens? So the Bible says, he has lifted me up from the miry clay. He put me on the rock and put in my mouth a new song. So that experience is explained in a beautiful way in the New Testament. We were dead in our sins and trespasses. If anyone under this roof feels that, who can redeem me, who can save me, who can help me in this situation, I tell you that we are in that dead condition, dead position. Then the Word of God says, God the Father lifted us up along with Jesus Christ and put us and made us to be seated in the heavenlies. Just imagine, I was dead, I was in my tomb. And I heard the voice of the gospel. And I shook myself. And I saw within me just bones. And all the bones, this head is here, the skull is here, the backbone is here, and all joined together, sinews and nerves, flesh, everything. And I became a man. And the Lord God gave his life. And I became a living man. And then he lifted me up and put me in the heavenlies. Very heavenlies.
Right
hand is Father. That's a beautiful picture. So, Psalmist says in Psalm 16, I always have my Lord on my right side. The actual meaning is, I always have Christ on my right hand. So, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me by his precious blood, he is on my right side. I am seated on the left side. So who is here on the left side? Who is to my left? Father God. Father is on my left and Jesus is on my right. I am in between there. Have you ever experienced when your boy or son was a little child, when you are talking together, husband and wife, he slowly sneaks in and just pushes you this way and pushes mom this way and tries to sit in between? The same picture we have in heaven. So Jesus is on my right and the Father is on my left. Now my question is, where is the Holy Spirit? Yes, you're right. He is within us. What a nice, beautiful, secure place we have in heaven. Though we live on this earth, every day we have to think about this. My Father is to my left. My Christ is to the right. And the Holy Spirit is within. When He taught the prayer, you know what is the Lord's Prayer? The Lord's Prayer is not our Father which art in heaven. It is the disciples' prayer. It's a moral prayer. But the notes are not there. Please kindly forgive me. Sometimes my wife says, when you preach, you go crazy. And so kindly excuse me for that. You know, I'm talking about what happened when Jesus Christ was seated on the right side. What happened that Jesus Christ left the bosom, came to the bosom? What happened? And what happened when He lifted up and then lifted up? So when He is lifted up, I am between my Father and my Savior, and the Holy Spirit is with me. So when the disciples were on this earth, they asked Jesus Christ, can you teach us the prayer? Because John the Baptist is teaching in his school, prayer school, how to pray. Can he teach us? So he taught them a prayer. It is a model prayer. And in that prayer, he said, you have to begin with your prayer with our Heavenly Father. I'm not against to some people praying in my country. They simply pray Holy Spirit and then they pray. Jesus Christ, they pray. But I always like to pray our Heavenly Father. So how do I finish my prayer? We ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So my prayer is between the Father and between the Son. So where is the Holy Spirit in this prayer? He's the one who leads us in the prayer. You know, sometimes the Lord says, shut up, don't pray. Have you ever experienced that? Because that is the time when we are not supposed to release the words from our mouth, because He knows before the words come out of our mouth, He knows what we need. So He provides. In other words, I always think, I tell to my wife, let's not pray for ourselves. Let's not pray for our sons. Let's pray for the spiritual growth. Let's pray for our spiritual growth. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray for the Hindu people. Let's pray that they may come out of the tradition and religion where they believe in 330 million gods and gods. They will be released from the caste system.
Amen.
They will be released from all such, you know, traditions. So, there are times where we are not supposed to pray with words. There are times where we are supposed to pray. But the Bible very clearly says that since we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. So in prayer, the model prayer, we have Father in the beginning, we have Christ at the end, in between we have the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus said, you know what is the sheep and shepherd chapter? Shepherd and sheep chapter?
John
10. When He is about to close it, He says, nobody can pluck you out of my hand. And then He says, nobody can pluck you from the hand of my Father. John 10:28, He says, nobody can take you from my hand. 29, He says, nobody can take you from my Father's hand. What do you mean by that?
just to look at their heavenly hands. Here is the Father. Here is the Son. Here is the Father. I am in the hand of my Jesus, and as well as I am in the hand of my Father. I always think he closes like this, because he has drawn us in his palms. No. He has not drawn us. He has engraved us in his palms. So if I draw it and wash, gone. But he has engraved me. So how am I in the hands of my Father and my Jesus? They cover me like this. So where am I? Between the hand of my Father and the Son, I am covered, and the Holy Spirit lives within me.
Amen.
The reason why Jesus Christ ascended back to his Father is not only to, and seated on the right side of the Father, is not only to pray for us, plead for us, to function the ministry of the priest. He is also very careful to take us along with him and put us in between Father and the Son, so that we will be protected, we will be covered by him. He said, the Lord said in the Old Testament, go, open, take off your spectacles, look at the mirror. What is in the center of your eye? You are the apple of my eye. So, something comes and the dust comes. What happens? It's simply process. So you know what is Jesus Christ doing? Father and Jesus Christ, upper lip and lower lip. Upper, what do you say? Lash and lower lash. One day a teacher came to my house. And she said, I want to talk to you. And my wife was by my side. And she looked at me. This is how she spoke. Brother, I want to talk to you about something. Do you have some time to spare? And my wife was standing by my side. She looked at me like this. In India, it's bad. You know, when you do that, it's bad. So she was doing, all the time she was doing, what do you call it? Winking. And finally she left. I tell to my wife, that was not my problem, that was not my mistake. She said, I knew that. So let's call somebody who knows her. So I called somebody who knows her. And they said that the kind of problem she has in the ear, praise God, that was only a problem. That was nothing else. I thank God. So like that in heaven, the Lord is just, can you see that? Whatever comes against you. This morning, do you understand that you are in the same hands of God? Do you understand that you are seated in between Father and Son and the Holy Spirit within you? Do you understand that you are placed between the two hands of the Lord and the Holy Spirit within you? Do you understand that you are the apple of the eye and the leaves cover you? What a secure, what a beautiful place we have. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, I still have about 5 minutes, I believe, Pastor.
My watch stopped.
So you never pray for your people that their watches may also stop? Another few minutes. In India, another few minutes means 60 minutes. So when Jesus came to this earth, he was like Moses. When Jesus Christ went back to his Father, he is like Joshua. The ministry of Moses is different from the ministry of Joshua. And the nature of the ministry of Moses is different from the nature of the ministry of Joshua. Both of them come from different tribes. But what is the work of Moses? His work is to redeem the people from Egypt. And what is the work of Joshua? His work is to take the people into the promised land. So what is the work of Moses? To redeem the people from Egypt
And what is the work of Joshua? To redeem Egypt, or to take away Egypt from the redeemed people. It just took few days for these people to come out of Egypt. Do you know how long it took for these people to go away? No. They could have wandered for 400 years. No? 4,000 years. No? They are like some people who come every Sunday, listen to the word of God. But never. After 40 years, God said, okay. During the 40 years, God said, it is very hard to handle with these people. So I will do one thing. Except Joshua and Caleb, let all the people have their burial place in the wilderness. So the old man had to be buried in the wilderness, and the young generation went into the promised land. So Moses struggled his best, but Joshua succeeded in that ministry, and he took them. When Moses came from the top of the mountain, he brought two stones. When Joshua walked into the promised land, he brought seven stones. One is for the people to walk, the other is for the people to remember. When he came with the two stones, all the ten commandments were written on the stones. So it was an instruction book. And what about the law? It is a commentary of the ten laws, ten commandments. Some people do not understand in India. They say, why the laws? I say, ten commandments are textbooks and the law is a commentary. So to lead the people morally, spiritually, socially, he gave three sets of law. But when Joshua crossed the Jordan, he asked seven stones to be brought to the shore and placed as remembrance. So the ministry of Jesus is different from the ministry of Christ. Don't try to think that I'm trying to create a doctrine here. But I'm telling you, Jesus is a human name. Many, many Jesus lived at the time of Jesus. So anybody comes to one village and ask for Jesus, they'll ask, which Jesus? Tall Jesus? Short Jesus? Thin Jesus? Stout Jesus? Which Jesus you want? There were many, many Jesus, because the mothers thought that my son is going to redeem Israel. So they named Jesus. But Christ is the name given, is a heavenly name. So as Jesus, you know, when he came, he was redeeming us from Egypt, from the curse of Egypt, from the religion of Egypt, from the sins of Egypt. And now he's taking us into the wilderness. But Joshua, that is when Jesus Christ went up. You just imagine when Jesus Christ was on this earth, he was baptized, he came to the banks of Jordan, and he knelt down and he prayed, and there comes the Holy Spirit. But the picture is given that Jesus Christ is called by John the Baptist the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God is kneeling down, and all of a sudden the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit is coming up on Jesus Christ like a dove. The combination of Lamb and dove. When Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He did not stop at that point. Take my yoke and learn of me. Then he said two qualities of his ministry. What are they? I am meek and I am humble. So meekness and humility. Two things we see there. So what do we get from there is this. When you take a lamb, people say that the lamb is the meekest of all the animals. And if you then take the dove, they say it is the meekest of all the birds. So here we see the Lamb of God and the dove of God coming together when Jesus started his ministry. In other words, meekness and humility came together. So he said, in my school, I will teach you two things, humility and... But when Jesus Christ went up, when the church came together on the upper room, just before Jesus left, he said, I have the exousia power. I will give you the exousia. But do not go away from Jerusalem until you receive the exousia power. Dunamis power. So Jesus said, I have exousia and the Holy Spirit has dunamis. Exousia is authority and dunamis is the power, real power. So when the disciples came to the upper room, when they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were empowered with power. And now the church is having the authority of Jesus and the power of Jesus put together. Why did God give this to them? There is only one reason I can tell you. Jesus said, go. Jesus said, go. Then, where am I? Where am I supposed to go? I am leaning upon the bosom of Jesus Christ right now. Comfort zone. John the Apostle was leaning upon the bosom of Christ. John 13:23. Then a day came when he wrote a final book in the Bible. He said, I am persecuted. Because of my suffering, because of my persecution, I am here in this island Patmos. What was this persecution? The persecution, in other words, tribulation. Tribulation comes in from two words. And the one I like very much is tribulam. It comes from tribulam, tribulation. Tribulam is an instrument in which you just throw the sugar cane in India, you'll see on the roadside, two rollers rolling against, and you just put the sugar cane there, and the juice is dropping there. So that process, that kind of machine is called tribula. In other words, in Thyatira, the place called Thyatira, from where Lydia came, they are known for manufacturing the purple clothes. It's very expensive. The color purple was from either a plant, a root of a plant, or from little worms. They will take the worms in the basket and put the worms between the two rollers, and they are squeezed, and the red blood drops down. And they took the red blood and applied it to the white cloth, and it became purple, and it was sold in Philippi, where the people were offered to buy it. Our Lord Jesus Christ did it. And now, John, it is time for you. I don't know your name. I tell Paul Daniel, it is time for you to get out of this comfort zone and go. Where to go, Lord? Go to the tribulum. Go to the people. Amen. Lord, can you protect me? I know what to do. You don't worry about that. I'm sending you. If I'm sending you, I'll be with you. If I'm with you, I will keep you safe. So now my thing is this. This morning we are going to we are going to dedicate ourselves from comfort zone to where we can suffer for Christ. It is not our choice. It is our dedication. When we dedicate, the Lord will tell us to go where we have to go. One more thing I want to share with you and close. You all know Prophet Isaiah, the prince of prophet in the Old Testament. A picture of Paul in the Old Testament. A man who wrote the whole Bible in 66 chapters. He says, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. If you read chapters 1 to 5, to your amazement you will see, he mentions, oh woe to you 6 times. But the 7th time, you read in 6th chapter, woe unto me. Because he was living in a comfort zone. He was related to King Uzziah. When Uzziah died, he came to the temple. When he came to the temple, the Lord spoke to him. And he said, whom can I send? The same calling I had in my life came to Isaiah. And he said, Lord, I am unclean. It's okay. Nobody is perfect. Come on, take that coal from there and touch his lips. Now you are clean.
You have to go and preach my word to the people. Then God sent Elijah from comfort zone to the place where he can suffer for Christ. In the same way this morning, the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Jesus left the comfort zone, came down and suffered, died on the cross of Calvary, and went back to his Father. Now our job is to leave the comfort zone and take our cross and walk with the cross every day and die for Christ and go to the place, glorious place he has prepared. May the Lord, who created a shifting time, shifting place, a change of place in Christ's life, may also do it in Paul Daniel's life. Can we all close our eyes and pray? I don't mean to say that you have to go to the Middle East or India or any other place, but I'm just telling you that it's time for us to dedicate ourselves to come out of that. I cannot explain all the sufferings the early missionaries who came from Europe went through in India. You know, when I see my Bible, Tamil Bible, I always I'm about to cry. Because when the Bible was written in Tamil, the one who came from Italy, he took a Tamil teacher, Tamil is my language, to a seashore, and both of them will sit there. The Tamil teacher will hold the finger of the missionary and taught him how to write. Slowly. He learned the language. Finally, he translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek to my language. In those days, just imagine somebody coming from Europe. I know few missionaries in India. In those days, the government allowed them to stay there. Two of them died, now one is alive. They learned to dress like us. They learned to live like us. They learned to eat like us. They learned our language. It was my privilege. One day I shared in a meeting, with the sister there. She was very old at the time. What a sacrifice. Missionaries to China, missionaries to India, missionaries to different parts of the world. They gave their sons. They died there. Sent another son. They died there. Sent a husband there. He died there. And crying. Why are you crying? I am crying because I don't have one more son to send. So that was the sacrifice. That was actually coming out of the comfort zone. Will you do that this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your people here, your flock here. And they are, Lord God, chosen by you for a purpose. May you, through the Holy Spirit, reveal the purpose in their life. May you teach them the way they have to walk, the way they have to minister to you. Bless them, Lord, according to your measure. And if there is anyone who has not experienced salvation in his or her life, may the Holy Spirit speak to this heart and draw to your cross and save them. Lord, if we are already saved and if you are your people and not walking you closely, draw us closer to you, Lord. And help us, Lord, to have a vision of what is your plan in our life. I commit Pastor and his family and all the families here into your precious hand. Give them your grace, give them your help, give them your strength, give them your vision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.